The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Just another disclaimer, I want to say that everything I talk about in this podcast is very subjective. I'll be talking about my own opinions and thoughts, and you do not have to agree with me. I encourage you to have your own opinion and not feel attacked if my opinion is different from yours. Thank you and enjoy the show!
I'm like gonna read one more chapter.
That made me sick.
Why don't you wake up?
To lovers? Yes, please. Is it seriously 2 a.m.?
We got back together.
I'm literally gonna
throw my book.
Shh.
Sorry.
You're listening to the Midnight Romantics podcast.
Bedtime's option, right?
Hello, readers, and welcome or welcome back to season 2 of the Midnight Romantics podcast, hosted by me, Kaylin. I am so excited that we are back for season 2. We've got so much fun content lined up for you this season, and I'm so excited to share it with you. So just as a reminder, you can follow The Midnight Romantics on Instagram at The Midnight Romantics, and the podcast is available on spiritlive.ca, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and it is also now on YouTube. So you can stream it wherever you choose to. With that said, we're going to get right into the first episode of season 2, and we're talking today about romance as a genre. Okay, so kind of the implications of it, kind of talking about some of the stereotypes that surround the genre and kind of breaking that down a little bit. But before we get into that, I would like to introduce my guest. You might remember her from the amazing episode we did on Book Boyfriends. So if you haven't listened to that, go check it out from season 1. But please welcome Veronica back to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me again, Kaylin. I'm so excited for this episode and season 2, and I can't wait. This topic's so good.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming back. So we, as I mentioned, we're talking today about romance kind of as a genre, because I think there's a lot to kind of unpack there with it. So my first question for you is, what stereotypes do you think are most associated with the romance genre, kind of almost looking at maybe an outsider's perspective? So like maybe someone who doesn't read the genre.
Well, I think like a lot of people find that romance is very predictable, which I think in many ways it is. And I don't think that's a bad thing, but I sometimes think that people think like, oh, the predictability of romance novels is like, okay, they're going to get together. Third act conflict, maybe the end, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that's a very pervasive thing. And I also think that like also just kind of this idea that it's like, I don't know, it's less interesting because of the fact that it's predictable and it can't be subversive or it can't have interesting things to say because of that. And then I also think like there's this idea that it's like only for women, mm-hmm. or that like people, like women only read it because like they want to read smut or like things like that, when you know, that could be a certain part of the romance genre for sure, but I think there's more nuance to that. But I think it's just easy to write it off in that way.
I for sure agree. I think because like when you go into a romance book, you know that you're going to get the happy ending, but that's also part of the part that people like about it too, because like I think people who look at it from the outside, they think of it like, oh, it's such a predictable plot, such a predictable ending. But I think sometimes these stories can be the best versions of escape, because there's so much crazy stuff going on in our own lives, in the world, and having a place where you know there's going to be a happy ending, there's going to be people who have a happy like relationship with each other, I think that can be like really rewarding. So that's a way I would kind of like working around and bringing awareness to that stereotype. I do totally agree. A lot of books typically do follow the same plot line, especially when you get into kind of like the tropes and genres, then it gets even more kind of like on a predictable level. And I totally agree with kind of the talking about only reading smut. A lot of content of romance books these days does include a lot of smut, but that is only a portion of why some people would choose to read. I know for me personally, it's more about the like emotional connection, about like the yearning and the pining and like mm-hmm. that, the giddiness that it makes you feel. And so I think like that's definitely misconstrued. And I think especially kind of with more book talk being promoted and stuff, where there's more kind of like smut content promoted on book talk, I think because that's what people are seeing in the masses, I think that definitely does paint the genre in a more negative light than what's actually kind of reflective in it. So yeah, I think that's really great. What do you think are stereotypes people have about romance readers?
Well, yeah, probably that they are, I don't know, like, I'm just thinking off the top of my head. Just like that they're like women and they, mm-hmm. you know, they don't have maybe like the best taste or the highest taste in literature, because, you know, you read romance, oh, it's so predictable or whatever, especially if it's a contemporary romance, because I think of things like Book Talk, you know, there's certain people who are like, oh, I love this book because of X, Y, and Z, and then maybe certain authors might start writing more books with those tropes, and I think it can kind of get stuck in like a bit of a feedback loop, and then people are like, okay, this book came out because of trends on TikTok, and so then people are reading it, and so that's kind of all you really see about the genre online, or often the only things you see about the genre online. So I think like a stereotype of like, oh, you don't read good literature, it's, you know, for women only, and just that like it I don't know, is self-referential and the books are just all kind of the same.
I totally agree with that. We're gonna get into more of like the term like women's fiction in a bit, but I feel like when people say see you're like, oh, you just like you read romance books, I feel like immediately they think like less of your like almost like intelligence or choice of reading. Like I feel like people use the romance genre, it's kind of synonymous with like, it's kind of reductive on honestly, because people don't value it from like an intellectual standpoint. They think, oh, they're just like silly like little romance books, there's like no plot to them, they're simplistic, it's not like you're reading some like great literature, which I think like what you covered was like on point. And I think that's really harmful, because like it like people should be able to read whatever they want to read, and I think the romance genre has gotten so many people into reading, and I think that's amazing, because with social media, online content, people are choosing scrolling over kind of like reading, and I think if the genre is going to get more people to read, I think that's really important. I think it's really important for it to achieve that. And so, yeah, I really don't like when people kind of like lessen the intelligence of people who read romance. And like you said, the genre is not only for women. Like, anyone can read romance, because there's so many like more diverse love stories coming out. And so I think everyone can find something to enjoy. And at the end of the day, they're all love stories. So I think everyone can kind of relate to that, or in some capacity. And so I think kind of that stereotype of like, oh, it's just for women, needs to kind of start fading away, because it's not true. It's no. Absolutely not true. We've kind of covered kind of the role that Book Talk has played. How do you think it has kind of like reinforced this idea of certain stereotypes in that people have of the romance genre?
Well, yeah, I think like you tend to see the same kinds of people, and I do think what you said about how definitely like the romance genre has absolutely gotten people into reading, because it's such an approachable thing. You know, it's so easy, because like you said, like you know what's going to happen in a romance book with a certain looking cover. I mean, I can, and that can be a really good thing. Like, a lot of people have gotten into reading because of that, and I think that's excellent. And I think those books can still have a lot of interesting things to say about life. Like, even I still fall in, like, I've read romance for a long time, you know, since I was like a teenager, or a not a teenager, like a I don't know, like 11 or something, right?
Yeah,
like
me too.
Young adult romance, I loved it. So yeah. I like sometimes find myself still being like, oh no, it's a romance book, it's not got a lot to say about the world. And I know what's gonna happen, and therefore it's gonna be boring, and maybe it's not worth my time. But I still, like, every time I finish a romance book, I'm still often very much like surprised about how the nuances of life. Like, they just talk about the, I don't know, human experience and different things about grief, and grief's often common, and finding yourself, and you know, finding love. And I think all of those things can be really important and have really important commentary.
Absolutely. I think the thing about romance genres that people often overlook, like the romance novels, I think, is that they cover universal themes. And it's not like a good one doesn't ever just focus on kind of like the relationship or like the love connection plot. There's like you mentioned, there's people dealing with grief, dealing with mental health. There's so many other things that can be covered, because at the end of the day, yes, it's about the relationship between these two people, but it's also about like their own individual emotional journey, and how they can sometimes like complement each other. And I think with Book Talk, there are like, as you said, like the feedback loop, I really like that. Certain books just keep getting talked about, and then others get forgotten, and then there's these like five books that are shaping people's entire opinion about a genre. And so I think that's kind of what we need to start moving away from, because it's like limiting us to seeing like how much amazing content there like really is out there with romance books and stuff. Okay, amazing. Next, I wanted to kind of talk about the term women's fiction, because it's one that I've like heard a lot. Even like sometimes you go to Indigo and you'll see like a table or something where it's like women's fiction. So I was kind of wondering, what does women fiction kind of mean to you? Like, what would you kind of define women's fiction as personally?
Well, like, I'm trying to think of books that I like have read that are like specifically women's fiction, and I think like, I don't know, it's kind of hard to determine, because I think they say women's fiction because I think women would relate to it most, mm-hmm. or would be most impacted by it, but I don't think that those books are only good for women, mm-hmm. you know, like, I think they cover women's experiences, but I don't know if there's like a men's fiction
exactly,
section,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like, you never would go to a store and see like men's fiction.
That's a lot of fiction. There's a lot of men's fiction out there, so I don't think
exactly.
it needs a label.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. That's like a really great point. You would never like go and see, oh, there's like a table for like men's fiction, and like and like I feel like gendering books in the first place is like I think with women's fiction, typically it's like written by a woman about like a female protagonist and maybe her journey, so I understand that. But like if you have a book with a male protagonist and his journey, you would never classify that as men's
it's just
fiction.
The standard.
It's just would just be a novel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like what women's fiction tends to do, I think in the past, is pigeonhole women into only reading a certain genre, and maybe even looking further back to kind of control like what they were reading in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I found online like women's fiction used to be called chick lit, and some people still
yep.
refer to it that way, and I think that's even more reductive, because like chick is such like it's like such like a old like term to refer to women, and it's reductive and it can be harmful. And so I feel like women's fiction is kind of a way to see like, okay, these are the books that the women read, and then everything else, the stuff that has the quote-unquote like content, like good content in like the important themes, and is like classified as good literature, is safe for men to read, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's kind of what it more started as. I wouldn't necessarily say that's where we are now. I kind of think that women's fiction is a term that is being and can be reclaimed.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. No, I think, like, it does talk about, like, all the women's fiction books I can think of off the top of my head are very much centered around, like, women's problems.
Mm-hmm.
Like, women's experiences and experiences, like, women normally have, I don't know, like, out their role in society or their body or anything
mm-hmm.
like that. And it's putting it with the label of women's fiction. It says that, oh, like, someone who's not a woman can't get something out of this.
Yeah.
Even though it, like, yes, it's specifically about women and maybe only something a woman could understand to that level, I think, like, you know, other people should read that too. It doesn't need
Absolutely.
To just be women,
because then it like it also gives other people perspective into the struggles that women face, and I think that's important, because like a woman reading women's fiction is like it's like relatable to some extent, but it's like, yes, this is kind of like a like something I've been through. But then having other people being exposed to that, I think, just creates a more inclusive world and community in general, because we're all kind of exposing ourselves to what everybody else is dealing with, which is why, like, I think you should be reading a variety of different genres, a variety of different authors, in order to get increase like your perspective on people in general. I think that's so important, and that's like the power of reading. And so, yeah, I definitely think that women's fiction can be a term that can be reclaimed, and in a way that makes everyone available to reading that genre. I think
for sure.
We're going to move on from our discussion to, like, a little bit of a game that kind of talks about the different stereotypes. And so, essentially, with this game, what's going to happen is I'm going to kind of read a statement about romance as a genre. And then Veronica and I are going to say, like, rate on a scale from, like, 1 to 5 how true we think that statement is regarding the romance genre.
Is 5... true, or is 5 not true?
Let's do five is the most true, and
mm-hmm.
1 is the least true. The first statement is romance novels always end happily.
Oh, I'd say that's like a 4.3.
Yeah, I would agree with that too.
I don't know. I think more romance novels should be bad, or like not end, not be bad, but like end poorly. I think more romance novels should end like not totally happy, but
mm-hmm.
like I know that's a good thing about the genre, is that it's predictable, and a lot of people find comfort in that, and so do I. But I think there's something very daring about like they don't get together,
mm-hmm.
And like not even that doesn't have to be sad. That can be like wrong, right person, wrong time. That can be like we love each other, but you know, I have to move to Singapore. Like, it can be a lot of things.
It can be.
And I think that's neat and it's interesting. And I think it's a good breath of fresh air that the contemporary romance genre specifically needs.
I agree. And I think, like, one, like, within romance, there's, like, different, like, little subgenres. And so, like, when I'm thinking about, like, a romantic, like, romantic comedy more so, which is, like, what I would think, like, kind of, like, or, like, more of, like, a, yeah, romantic comedy, those ones usually you would think, like, oh, those ones are gonna end in happy ending. But then you have, like, more stories about, like, real-life relationships. Like, I know I wouldn't necessarily classify this book as romance. It's more of, like, a literary fiction. But, like, Normal People by Sally Rooney is, like, one of my favorite books ever. And it does, it is, like, a love story. It is a relationship between Marianne and Connell. But, like, the ending is so ambiguous and it's so, like, The book is just so reflective of how people miscommunicate with each other in everyday lives and how relationships ebb and flow. And I would love to start seeing more content like that. Obviously, you have to be in the mood to read that, like you said. Like, yes, there's times when all I want is just, like a fluffy little, like, romance book to read. But then there's other times when I want something with more emotional content to it. Let's see. Which one do I want to do next? Okay, this one. Romance is the best-selling genre of fiction. What would you say? What would you think for that?
In the era we are in, I think it totally is.
Yeah, I would totally say five for this one.
I would say, like, five, honestly, because, like, it gets so many people in.
Yeah.
If you think about TV shows that have been adapted from books,
mm-hmm.
So you not only get people who are on book talk, but then you also get people who are big fans
yep.
of certain shows or certain movies, and they're like, let me read the book.
Yep.
I have done that for many things.
Oh, yeah, me too.
There's a very popular show right now that people love the books. That people are buying the books. I know people
guys,
who have gotten
know,
the books.
Guys, we will talk about this in a later episode, I promise, because this needs to be broken down. I haven't read the books, but I love the show. We all know what we're talking about.
Yes.
It doesn't need to be named.
Does it? I'm not going to even say. But that's true with, like, so many other things, you know, in the past. Like, I feel like there was, like, you know, I mean, just even this year, there was, like, The Summer I Turned Pretty. People were reading that.
Yep.
I know there's, like, a new People We Meet on Vacation just came out.
Yep.
What else? There was also, like, To All the Boys I Loved Before. And mm-hmm. then there's things like that get adapted from, like, Wattpad and,
yep.
you know, other fan
exactly.
fictions. And I think, like, and those get turned into books. So I think it's a very powerful genre.
I agree. It's definitely, it's just like, I feel like also people like romanticize reading, but in like a positive way, romanticize reading when they read romance more, you know, because there's all this like cute merch that you can like, it comes with
oh,
it.
Oh, for sure.
And like people like get attached to that. And like, there's like so many cute like events that you can go to for romance books, because I feel like the genre just creates such a great community with amongst people, because it's like the perfect genre for fangirling.
Yeah.
And like, I love fangirling, as you guys know. I mean, my podcast is pretty much just me fangirling, but like, I love that. And so I love finding a community of people where we can just gush over what happened in this book. We can talk about our favorite characters, talk about our favorite book boyfriends. And I just, that's like, means so much to me. And so I think that is definitely a part of why the community is definitely an aspect of why they are so popular. And just like, because love is universal. And so like, people are so drawn to that. And so I think, yeah. And I Googled it too. And it did say that it was the best selling genre. Okay, this one is, I like this one too. We were kind of talking about this one, but romance novels aren't real literature.
Whoa.
That is
a claim.
Isn't that intense?
Well, like, okay, well, it all comes down to what you think of as literature.
That's what I'm saying. How do you define literature? Because
yeah.
technically literature is just books. Like,
That's what I think. I mean, there's like people who think literature is like a certain, I don't know, like,
it takes on a more pretentious term when you hear it. Like,
yeah.
literature, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds
it's
like
definitely, you know, I think people use that term like it means, I think,
I feel
just
like
reading,
the term literature reminds me of like Oscars in film, you know, like
very
literature,
serious.
It's like it takes itself seriously. It's like important. Like
I
think of like, I don't know, when I hear the word literature, I think of like Pulitzer Prize and I think of like really profound works and stuff. And I'm like, I feel like that's just like kind of been associated with the word. And like, is that actually what we're like supposed to be talking about? You know, like, is that what it actually means? You know what? I'm going to Google what the definition of literature is. Okay. This says written works, especially those considered of superior or
yeah.
lasting artistic merit.
I think there's a lot of romance books that will end up falling into that
yeah.
category. I think there already has been. If you think about, you know, classics, there's a lot of romance books among classics.
Yeah.
I think like,
yeah, you think of like Jane Austen and
yeah.
like, and all those novels like Pride and Prejudice and
yep.
stuff. those stand the test of time, and at their core, it's a love story, but it's also so much more than that.
Mm-hmm. Like, know? I think love stories in many ways, and love is very timeless. You know,
absolutely.
If you think about, like, we still study Romeo and Juliet.
Yep.
You know, there's so many pieces of fiction that feature romance, and that's great. So I think, I don't think every romance book will end up becoming a classic.
And it shouldn't. Some shouldn't become classics.
But I think there are hallmarks of romance right now that will definitely become a classic piece in the romance genre and the history of romance. And I think, like, I don't know, maybe like a century from now we'll be studying Emily Henry. I don't know. Like,
girls killing it. Girls killing it right now. Like, so
I think that's worth teaching.
So maybe, and I would love to see more contemporary courses on, like, on the genre, I think. Like pop culture courses, I feel like that'd be so interesting, because I feel like there's so much to, like, unpack.
Definitely.
Like, the books I tend to like usually have an aspect of romance to them. They're not necessarily, like, romance books. Like when I think of that, I think of, like, more, like, rom-coms and stuff. But, like, Song of Achilles is, like, one of my favorite books ever. And, like, that is a love story. And it won, I can't remember what it's, like, the Orange?
Yeah, I think it was the Orange Prize.
Yeah. And, like, that's, like, that is, it's, like, it's so beautiful. It's so well written. Like, that's the kind of content I would kill to be seeing more of, because it's just so, like, executed so well. And then my last kind of, like, ending question, I would say, to wrap it up, is what do you think can be done to combat certain stereotypes that are seen in the romance genre?
I don't know.
It's a tough question.
Well, I mean, what can be done? I think, like, it is easy when you're talking about things online and you are promoting a genre to lean into tropes. Mm-hmm. And that's how you actually get more people to read. I think tropes can be very useful.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, also, you know, they can also be unhelpful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they can limit the genre. So it's a fine balance between getting people to still read the genre and marketing it in a certain way that's very palatable, but also being like, there's more to it than that. You know,
yes,
it's interesting, it's subversive.
Yes. That's the whole thing, is saying, because as we were saying before, people reduce the romance genre so much, especially as we've mentioned, because of the same content that's circulating online. So I think one of the big things is, like, addressing book talk, and, like, there's so many people online who are calling out book talk, because yes, it is a community. It provides a place where people can come together who have similar interests, but also it is circulating content that is the same over and over and over again, and that is not necessarily, like, the most representative, I think, of the genre as a whole. And so I think addressing that, or just, like, even varying up what we're talking about on book talk, like, maybe having a recommendations of, like, books that, like, are more, like, emotional, and, like, as you said, kind of maybe moving away from more of, like, tropes. Like, if you like this trope, read these books, and more so kind of talking about more, like, emotional content and things like that. Because I think book talk has, like, so much opportunity to get even more people into reading, do a world of good. It's just, like, it's become this, like, loop. And so I think addressing that is a huge way to start combating stereotypes. Especially even in people who don't read romance, because everyone is online and sees various content. And so I think being mindful of what we are sharing about the genre online can really help to break down some of those stereotypes.
And I encourage everyone to just, like, I think when you read one kind of book, you think, I only like this one kind of book.
Mm-hmm.
I only like this one kind of thing. But I thought this when I was younger too. I was like, oh, I can only read romance books because I just, that's the only thing that it's, the rest is like, ugh, it's not for me. But, like, fiction often has elements of romance.
Absolutely.
And there's many ways to branch out what you're reading and still enjoy it. I think, like, you know, if you're reading the same genre over and over and over again, and you think you're confined to just that one thing or just a couple things, try a new book that you think, you know, might have a subplot of romance, or, you know, might have a bit of fantasy elements but is still contemporary, or things like that. I think that's a really great way to expand your palette, and I think it's really great.
That was a great discussion. I would love to hear some of your comments, so I'll put a post up on the Instagram so you guys can comment on what you think about romance as a genre. I would love to hear from you. But thank you so much for tuning into episode 1 of The Midnight Romantics season 2. And I would like to thank Veronica.
Of course.
course. For coming on. thank you so much for being here.
I can't wait to see what other episodes you put out, Kaylin.
It's going to be a great season. So thank you so much. And as always, bedtime's optional, right? Finish your last chapter. Okay, I'll see you next episode. Bye, everyone.